Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back, you incredible mission accepted people. I am so grateful for you. You guys rock. I know I say that every time, but there's someone on here who hasn't heard that, because you guys are a really active community. And that's exactly what we wanted when we created Mission Accepted, because all of the guests that come on, they take on these big challenges, or they have their back against the wall, or they have an epiphany, and they just put that into action. And it's really inspiring and motivating. And I know that you guys are getting a lot from this. And so I really, really appreciate that you're sharing and caring. There you guys go. I'm a poet today. You guys are the best, but look at, you know, I give you guys the most incredible titles, right? And you have been everything. You've been brilliant. You've been bodacious. You've been rock and rollers. Well, today you are the most interesting listeners and viewers that we've had yet. So I'm very excited. And I know that you hear that word a lot, excited. So just, you know, excited means that you got your blood pumping. Excited means that you're open. Excited means that you know and you're anticipating something great to happen. That's why I love to use the word. I should say, I'm so anticipated with excitement. Right. And so to have our guest on today. So look, we're going to do a bit of a 3-part mini series, because this woman is an expert. And so, you know, we love to bring in experts that have more than just a little bit to say. There's depth to this woman's work. And it's a conversation that you need to hear more about. You can't just hear about this word that I'm not revealing. But I know, Molly, are you going to say it yet? You know what I mean? I'm not going to say it yet, because it's going to be in our 2-part mini series. But this is a woman who is a starting over life coach, with a very interesting approach that she incorporates that I have yet in my 32 years to hear this word before I met Molly Ann. So I am genuinely interested, and I am genuinely excited. And when you think about starting over, it doesn't have to be big stuff. And I'm sure she's going to share more about that. And I don't want to share about, but I think there's many times, I mean, you know, we happen to be shooting this video at the perfect time for you to be listening. And who knows, maybe you're doing some kind of starting over. We happen to be doing it, or it's happening to be happening at a time in my life where I'm really evaluating what it is I'm going to do next year. Who is Deb Drummond going to be next year, both personally, professionally? Who is that? And guess what? I literally had a conversation like that with my marketing manager. I literally had a conversation with that with my team. I literally had that conversation with myself. Like, who do I want to be? What do I want to bring to the table in all the areas of my life? You know, who do I want to be as a parent? And I think sometimes our starting over can come from just a revelation and wanting something different. That's for me. And then there's been times where, I mean, I remember my story and being an entrepreneur came from a very big start over and not one that I necessarily saw that was coming. And I know that there's some of you out there that have that experience as well, where starting over wasn't your choice. Right? Starting over wasn't your choice. And so you weren't necessarily prepared. I wasn't prepared for what was coming. I went from the music industry into holistic medicine. Let me tell you, 30 years ago, that was funky. People like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, come on, get back here, you know? So, and I don't even know if I knew everything that I was doing, but I knew that a start over needed to happen. So with all of that being said, I'm sure if you are listening to this and you are over the age of 8, you've had some kind of start over or just start over. Maybe your parents moved towns and you're like, you had to start over, you know. But enough about me. This is not my expertise. Let's bring the expert on to the show. So thank you so much for joining us, Molly Ann.
Thank you, Deborah, for having me. You used the word excitement. I love that, because we can find some excitement in starting over. We really can. It's new beginnings and things like that. So yes, I have a lot of experience in starting over. Awesome. I was a military wife for 27 years. We moved on average every 2 years. Mm. And we did not move into the community. I mean, I'm sorry, we did move into the community. We did not move on to the base. So I had to acclimate my kids to school. I had to get new jobs. I had to make new friends. So imagine starting over every 2 years.
Well, as you can see, we have an expert on the show today. Now you know why she's coming in as an expert. Yes, continue.
Yeah. So there's that. And then I had a life coach after my divorce, and it made all the difference in the world to me. So I knew this is the direction I wanted to go. And that's why I got official training in it, in that area, and applied my experience and my training to work with people that are starting over. And like you said, we're all starting over at different times in our life. I work with a couple of kids that just graduated from UCLA. They're starting over. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're going out into the workforce. I would say about a third of my clients, though, are empty nesters. Mm. These are women that have raised kids, and now who are they beyond being a mom? Right. And some of them have had estranged relationships with their adult children because they haven't made that transition very well. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I work with them on honoring themselves as individuals and setting that example to their adult children that they in turn will honor their adult children as individuals. And that's where it's really difficult to make that transition when you've been a mama all your life. So yeah,
that is hard. It is hard when you've been in one role. Yeah. Right, whether that's a career role, and I think the other part of it is that because it becomes part of our identification. I remember my great Ayurvedic teacher, there's a treatment that you can do in Ayurveda called Kaya Kalpa. She did it and I did it. And the first time I was in receivership of it. This one was brilliant. And so it's a huge treatment. And at a certain part in the treatment, like you've had massage and clay on your body and you're detoxifying and you're in a hot shower and a cold shower and your aromatherapy and it's all very good. And at some point in it, she's like, okay, let's bring in the things in your life and have a conversation with them. I'm like, okay. So she's like, let's talk to your business. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like now this was, I don't know, I'm going to say like 16, 17 years ago. So she's like, we'll talk to your business. Like have a conversation with your business. Like, how is it doing? What do you want? And I didn't know how to do that because I was my business. And she's like, oh no, sweetheart. You're not your business. You own the business and the business has its own entity. The point that I'm making is that I think sometimes our identity is really tied up in being a parent, a business owner, a career of this long time. And when that changes, it really rocks you to your core. I remember that was an eye-opening moment. So I was like, okay, business, you better listen up because this is what I think you better be doing, right? I mean, it was kind of fun and funky. But it took me a while to get ahead of it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am not my business. I'm not my business. It just happens to be the role that I'm playing or what have you. So I imagine that that would be really tough, particularly I think when you've been a parent.
Yes. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. And you brought up business. Some of my clients are retired professionals. And I personally will never retire. That's kind of what I work with them on, and not necessarily not retiring.
Yeah.
But who they are beyond what they did.
Yeah.
Okay. So we work on still being very creative and doing amazing things with their talents and their gifts and their knowledge that they got from their profession and still bring it into the world. So they still feel like they have a sense of purpose. And unfortunately, sometimes when people retire, they don't. So,
well, that's what happens, I think, when things end, right? When people have to start over. I know when I was transitioning from one to the other, even when it's a good part, like even when it's a good ending, even when it's your choice, it's interesting, right? It's that process of grief or whatever, like even if it's your choice, even when you're like, I need to go here, there can still be that, but I was here over here, and that attachment just that routine of who we are and making us feel like we have a purpose. And I think that's why I know that it's important to you. And you talk to your clients about that a lot. And I hear you talk about purpose a lot. Like, what is it that you want to do? And you can do that purpose just maybe in a different way. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Like I mentioned, we can take our knowledge, our experience and our gifts and pay them forward in many, many ways. It doesn't have to be in a profession or as a role. So yeah. I'm kind of all about removing those labels, if you will. And another thing that I really stress, it's often the expression discover yourself is used. And I like, no, rediscover yourself because you're still there.
Right.
Who you are and all your gifts yeah. and everything, you're absolutely still there. We're going to rediscover them. So
that's a good thing. So I'm kind of hearing some things that the audience could take and utilize right away is one, understand the relationship that they are not necessarily what they do or the roles that they've played are not necessarily who they are. So that when those roles change or end, right, that they don't crumble inside as well and end up wondering, what am I doing here? What is my purpose? Was it all worth it? I've heard that a lot, particularly empty nesters, you know, friends of mine, I've gone through and I know friends that go through empty nesters and there's a bit of a hollowing, you know, it, never mind, you come home and there's no one there, you know what I mean? No one needs you and there's that process, but it can be really, really devastating for some people if they don't have something else in their life that's fulfilling that purpose. And that's what I hear you say too. It's not just about what you do, it's what you do now. It's how you, like if someone wants to retire, no one's saying that you have to work till whenever, but what is it that you would like to participate or communicate or feels that need to feel like you're an active participant? What are some of the things that people do during those times of transition that helps that we can share?
One of the main things, one of the first things I do is I talk to people about their true values. And by that, I'm not talking about morals. I'm talking about what really matters to them. So we do some work on, you can tell by a person's home, what they invest their time in, what they invest their money in, what they invest their energy in. Those are the things that really matter to them. And so I help them first figure out what really matters to them. And maybe it is family, but as an empty nester, you can still work within that realm of having family matter to you, but on a level that you're still honoring yourself.
Mm.
And that's kind of where I get involved with the work on a deeper level. So, okay.
No, that's good. When you say that, I think about, as before you said family, I was like, well, if you were to walk around my house, what would be important? Crystals, pictures of the kids, music, my record album, you know what I mean? And you would, you know, so, which is great because one of the places that, you know, I just go quietly get fulfilled and volunteer is for Amnesty International, but I happen to do things around the music for them. So that would be something that someone could do. So what is it that when people come to you, like I know we're talking about some of the things that they go through, but what are some of the signs that are people are needing a kind of start over, redo, coming back? Those are kind of the titles and labels. When should someone reach out to someone like you? Is it that when they start to feel really lonely or they're not feeling purposeful or they don't know their next step? Like what is it, you know? What are the indicators that someone needs to reach out and have a conversation with someone to help them figure this out? Because it's not, you know, again, it's not a common title that people have heard maybe the last few years because, well, the world put us in a bit of a start over, didn't it? Put us in a bit of a redo. And it made people reevaluate what was important to them. So I imagine, well, I know in the last few years, your business has boomed and I'm sure that's a part of it where people are evaluating what's important to them, but just we're out there in the world. I think people would be surprised to hear, wow, you've got these young people in the world that are finishing college. Like people never went to a start over course, like when they left university or they left college or they left high school. So kind of maybe give us some indicators.
Okay, the simplest way to give you a phrase to remember is you need a sense of direction. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my business is Summers for Direction and Healing. So that's what I do. I kind of first have people find out what matters to them and then give them a sense of direction as to how they can take that and implement it into their life now and going forward.
That's awesome. So if you're feeling like you need some direction or some clarification of that direction, or you're feeling lost, or you feel like your purpose is shaken up a little bit, or you don't know your next step and need to have an exploratory conversation, that's going to be a fulfilling conversation. Therefore, it's going to be the right conversation. Those are all kind of indicators. Now, I noticed that you mentioned the word healing. And I know that we were talking pre-show about something that I don't think a lot of people have heard a lot about, but I know that when the time's right, you do this implementation with some of your clients and you do it with people that kind of come with you right away. And I know that it's epigenetics. Now, a lot of people could hear epigenetics and it might sound like a medical term or or some kind of system, but you have it in relationship to helping one's purpose, healing, bringing things together. It really rounds out your work. For those that don't understand what that is or what that looks like, can you give us a little bit of a definition on that?
Yeah, I'll try not to get too technical. First, how I incorporate is when we're starting over, we have a lot of emotions that are triggered. Okay, we don't even realize they're coming. All right. Sometimes I find when I'm working with some clients that these are things that might be inherited through the generations, triggers. Okay. So epigenetics is dealing with our genes piggybacking, our DNA, if you will. Of course, we can't change our DNA, like we can't change our eye color. Well, I guess if we get color contact lens, we can. Yeah, but we seriously, we can't change our DNA. But we can work with emotions that might have been triggered in the past generations that have actually piggybacked down through. Okay. Interestingly enough, I have worked with people that are overweight and have done all the things they're told to do, and they still struggle with it. They still kind of self-sabotage. Through my work, I use kinesthetic, which is muscle testing. Mm-hmm. I actually discover if what emotions are trapped. And then I discover if they're inherited or if they're within their lifetime. And then I see how many generations, and then I go back and I have a clearing process. I release those. And it's really important to understand that I replace them with something positive, because we create a void when we release those emotions. All right. So anyway, getting back to the people that might be overweight and continuing to sabotage themselves, I've actually discovered that they have some emotions trapped that are carried down through generations from either the famine in Ireland or the depression or even the Holocaust. They have had trapped emotions passed down through the generations from those times, and they don't understand it. I'll try to simplify it for you really, really easy. Some people have an unexplained fear of real fear of bees, even though they've never had any problem with them. They might have had someone in a past generation that was allergic and died. And that was passed through the genes down through the generations. So emotions can definitely be passed through the generations. And there's been a lot of scientific work and evidence of this.
So yeah. Thank you so much for explaining it, because I think it's very clear, and I love how you explained it. And I do think that it's fairly, it's starting to become quite common in terms of we have an energy body. Yes. We know that there's a physical body, an energy body, a spiritual body. There's a relationship. We know that, you know, I don't think it's such a far reach, Melianne. Like, we know that things, because if you are, we're talking about parents. I'll just talk about parents. So when your parents have said things to you, and then all of a sudden as a parent, you go and say it to your kid and you're like, Oh my God, I sound like my mother. I sound like my grandmother. I sound like my aunt, because we do pass on. I mean, we pass on great things. We pass on how to make a really good pot roast. We pass on how to like make Eggs Benedict like yesterday's business. So we pass on good things like that with verbal tradition. It's really, that's called oral tradition, right? And so it's not a big leap to think that things get passed on genetically. We know that genetics gets passed on. I mean, there's conditions that get passed on genetically. That's why Ancestry.com and me.com, and no, they didn't pay me to say this. You can actually do a medical thing and find out information from genetics. So it would not be such a stretch that you would pass on oral tradition. You'd pass on things genetically, that you would pass on belief systems as well, right? I mean, I raised my kids to not eat sugar, and I, you know, I don't care if it was manipulative or what it was. I was like, so they have a belief system that sugar is not a benefit to your body. Now, we might all agree on that or not, but that's what I raised. Do you know what I mean? My kids, and I watched my daughter play that out. You know, we're not introducing this yet and those kind of things. So I think it's actually relieving to hear that you can go back and change something. So if you want to cook, you know, if you want to cook your pot roast different, have at her. Do you know what I mean? But you can still hear that person's knitting. Well, my grandmother wouldn't do it this way. Do you know what I mean? But you, if it's for your benefit, like if it's for your benefit to make a change, and I don't think people understand that work. I mean, honestly, when you talk, and like with my Irish descent, when you said the famine, I'm like, well, Molly Ann, guess what? I don't know if I have any bad, you know, things back there, but honestly, why not check? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do we know sometimes what's holding us back? How do we know sometimes what's sabotaging this or sabotaging that? And the one thing I love about the world of metaphysics, which is just really physics that you can't necessarily touch, you know what I mean? Is that there's people like you that, and it's like, what am I doing? I'm sitting on a Zoom or having a conversation that you can do this through? Or is it that someone needs to be in person? Or tell us, how does that work? Because that sounds darn easy.
Actually, when I do the healing, there is a physical process to it. So I actually prefer to turn my cameras off.
Yeah.
So they don't see me do all the testing and the physical aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And I find, believe it or not, I've discovered as a coach and as a healer, in some respects, it depends. There's hands-on healers, so I totally respect that. But yeah, as a coach and an epigenetics healer, where I have to go through this process, I have found people almost feel safer over Zoom than they would in person. They feel less vulnerable. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that actually works better for me. I have done some in-person sessions, and it's amazing. I really think that over Zoom, they're just more comfortable, and I turn off my camera and I have them be someplace totally uninterrupted with lots of water. That's very important. And then I do the work with the camera off, and they kind of feel like I'm a voice. It's okay. Into their subconscious and going back. So you mentioned the energy, and that's really important. I do want to briefly say that, you know, trauma affects our energy. There's no getting around it. And when our energy is affected, it actually can affect our cells. So it's very believable and understandable that our genetics can be affected, and those are passed down through the generations. So that's the work I do, is when people have past generations that have experienced trauma.
Yeah. No, I think it's very true, because sometimes we don't know why we're having those heavy feelings either, right? You know, like there's heavy feelings or things are just not moving forward. And it may sound like a stretch to people, but I have two children, and I've been in the world of metaphysics for a very long time. And I noticed that when I'm doing better, when my energy's up, when I'm in game, when I'm in play, first of all, I'm way more grounded in dealing with my kids. And so, for example, yesterday was a very, it was a big photo shoot for my son's business. Now, it's a little tense and intense for everybody, particularly for me and my son. We're packing, we're loading, we're getting everything out in the morning. And I can't say he was the happiest teenager yesterday morning. And I remember, I just said to myself, Deb, he's super nervous, and they take it out on the ones they love the most. stay good. But I could stay good within myself and my mind, because of course I got up earlier and did a nice meditation, and I'm like, just be the beacon. And I think what happens when you clean up the stuff from your past, whether you recognize it or don't recognize it, that you become a bit of a, your light changes, the energy field around you changes, you attract different people, you're able to weather storms. And let me tell you, it was pretty storming. We had, you know, the stylist got sick, the hairdresser's kid couldn't make it because she got sick. We had one of the models out of 14 that ended up with, appendicitis. And we had it happening, right? And so I'm like, my son's, you know, you see his eyes and he's nervous. You know, this is a big photo shoot. There's 14 people and, you know, he's 20. So I'm like, be groovy, Deb. Just be groovy. But I can, because of the kind of work that you're talking about. And I think when you do, when you go in and you clean that up, you do shine brighter. You do have more energy. And honestly, I think you can handle more duress. I think you can handle more duress and more stress and more change with grace.
I have an idea where it came from.
Yeah.
And that helps. So many times we just want an answer.
Yeah.
And unfortunately we'll tell ourselves a story that might not even be real just to have an answer.
Yeah.
So this really helps people with having some clarification as to why they might be sabotaging themselves when they have done everything they've been asked to do. So,
and you know, it's interesting, I've heard you say that a couple of times, and I think it's important to note, like, when people have kind of come to their own, to that place of, and there's a lot of people that do that in physical conditions. I don't know what else I can do. I've tried this doctor, I've tried this, I've read this book, I've done this, and I don't know what to do. And I think people feel that way also as entrepreneurs many times, particularly when they're coming up to that next phase or they want to break through to the next level and they just can't do it. Sometimes it's not in the program that you're going to take. Sometimes it's the programming that's already running your game.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a good one. Hey, there you go. That was for you. There you go. But that's when I reach out to people like yourself and take myself out of the equation. Like, I don't need, I mean, I might have the problem, but I necessarily am not going to be the person to find the solution. I think in times like that, that's when you put into your asks in the morning, whether you pray, meditate, or just ask. That's the one thing great about frustration and having your back against the wall. You actually start to ask outward, as you're like, you know, just send me the book, send me the person, send me the sign that's going to help me in this situation. And then, you know, that's where you take it from there and your gift clears it out. I'm super excited. I'm super excited to have an experience of your work. Okay. So you've got, you know, you're helping a lot of people with this new place, changing their life, starting over, making new decisions, making new this. And then I would imagine that they have access to this epigenetics. How do those relate? Like, how does that maximize someone's experience with you?
Thank you for that. I'd be happy to clarify. I do have clients that will come to me initially for epigenetic healing. Mm-hmm. Because on my website, I have a little bit of clarification as to what that is. And they get it that they've tried everything. It's not working. Yeah. Just as often, though, I will be working with someone that's in the process of starting over, and they have these blocks they don't even understand. They have these fears that don't even make sense to them. Where do they come from? You know what I'm saying? And when I'm getting in alignment with that and hearing that, if they are open to it, that's when I will definitely suggest that we do an energy session.
No, that's great. That's great. Okay, so we can describe what the benefits are, but is there anyone in particular that you can talk about that can give our audience something to relate to? Like, someone came to you for something and there was something really revealed in their experience, whether, you know, we don't have to use a real name, and then something shifted for them afterwards, so people can kind of put that together. Is that something that I can get you to pull out of your database of information? Just one of the things that it really helped with somebody?
Yes. I've had a couple. Actually, I had a young lady that came here from Iran, and this is a little bit of an kind of interesting situation because we know the culture in Iran for women, okay? But we went beyond that to going through her ancestry through epigenetic healing and discovering that it isn't just the present culture that affected her. It was the conditioning of her mother, her grandmother, great grandmother, generations back. That conditioning, that trauma, honestly, from Iran with women that was created, was passed down through the generations. So even though she had come to the United States, she considered herself an American woman, she still had a lot of inherited conditioning. So that's one of the ways I discovered that, and it made a big difference. So
oh, I'm sure, right? Yeah. I think it's so interesting. So yeah, that kind of totally lands, doesn't it? Totally lands. And what a great thing to be able to put together. I think as you're looking at things for your life and new things and new decisions, cleaning up the past has got to be great. You know what I mean? I mean, I think, don't we all do that? Don't we all feel fantastic when we spring clean or clean out your closet, or, I mean, and really like make new and refresh, and those things all feel good. And I know that people, you know, understand detoxing for their body because they're all going to do it in January. You know what I mean? They're all going to, they're all going to detox in the season, or they're going to come back from their cruise or their holidays or their trips or the this. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'll clean up things then.
All but, the resolutions.
yeah. All the resolutions. So that's awesome. I mean, I have a couple of questions for you that are not necessarily in this realm that I always like to have conversations with, particularly successful entrepreneurs like yourself. Is there anything else before I kind of shift us into a little bit of different questions that you want to share with us about the nature of your work, the benefits of your work, how it works, anything about epigenetics or starting over, that before we kind of move you into another realm of conversation?
Okay. I can say that they intermesh very closely, because to start over, we can't eliminate our past. But when we have clarity, that's where the epigenetics comes in. When we have clarity and we have understanding as to why we keep, you know, doing what we do, even though we know it doesn't make sense, believe it or not, that's when we can correct it. We can correct it when we have the clarity. So there are a lot of times I work with people and I don't go on into epigenetics healing, because we're doing great. We're doing great with understanding what really matters to them and being able to apply that, okay? That said, there are times, like I mentioned, that I can pull in the epigenetics and it really makes a difference for their clarity.
So clarity.
That's
important. Yeah. You want to know where you're going. Okay. So thank you for that. Thank you for putting that together. I can definitely see how that package would be very highly beneficial. And I know that for those of you that don't know, Molly Ann is a big part of the 262 project that we're doing, and she's speaking, and you're going to be able to hear more of Molly Ann on the streaming channel that's going to be happening, that you'll have access to in 2024. She's also speaking then. She's speaking on our big day. And I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, because this podcast you could be listening to now or a year or 2 years from now, but it doesn't matter. You can still go back and listen to more sharing, and also in the book. And you probably all have the book once it releases. It's the 262 Women's incredible book that's launching on May 11th. So you can go find more about her then. But look, as a successful businesswoman, I'm going to kind of grab and have this conversation. I speak to a lot of professionals and a lot of people that are starting off in their business or wanting to have more results in their business. And that is very much aligned. I talk about it in terms of top performance or high achievement or what have you. And I could definitely see how utilizing your services would be helpful for anyone that's going for those achievements. I like to ask people, just because it's my topic of interest, is there anything that you do in your business as a businesswoman, no matter what it is that you're doing, that you find has great return for you? Something that you may do in your systems or from marketing, or from sharing, like something that you would consider one of your top performance or your high ratio activities that you do to be a sustainable sister in this beautiful world?
A lot I have to give you thanks for, because this Mission Accepted is a fantastic platform for entrepreneurs. It's just amazing. On a very personal level, I seriously get so much reward from my one-on-one work. I do so much. When I am speaking this coming year, you'll find out a little bit more about my personal story, more about what led me to really knowing that this is God's message for me to do this work. So that's where I get the most reward.
Yeah. And it's interesting, right, everyone? So for you, it's about, you know, cultivating and creating as many one-on-one experiences for yourself, because a lot of the people that are listening to our show are maybe going to be entrepreneurs. They're in that entrepreneur phase, or they're adding another division or more divisions and what have you. And I think it's always great to hear from other people that are having success. And so you've obviously gotten very clear, realized where one of your joy spots is in your business. And so, you know, your conversations and your marketing and your talk is to having more of that experience. Yeah.
We all want to grow, of course, in our business. Absolutely. And I would love to do more podcasts and things like that. Overall, though, my heart is, I can't ever give up the one-on-one.
Yeah, no. That's absolutely, podcasts are just a way to have that happen. You know what I mean? That's just part of having the world know who you are, what you're doing, and now understanding epigenetics. So is there anything else that you want to share before I go and ask you this question that I'm going to ask you that's in a completely different direction?
I think we're good. You've been amazing. Ask questions that I was able to explain. Thank you so much.
No, I think it gave everybody a very full rounded. I would say in many times people don't recognize within themselves that they need to talk to someone that has your skills. Right? Because it's kind of a non-defined, almost like a non-defined commodity. So I intuitively very much do these shows. And so for some reason, I'm saying, if you notice someone in your life that's feeling a little lost, or someone that you know that's been in a career for a long time, you know, a guy friend, a gal friend, and you see that they're a little bit, or they're sleeping in when they didn't used to sleep in, or they seem a little dismayed, or a little, I don't know who I am kind of stuff after this role, or like, you know, this whole new generation. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to have Kimberly Butler interview me about what it's like to be a momager, but you know, you've got these kids that really are open. Like, I don't know. I didn't leave high school with this big, I need to go talk to somebody about what I'm going to do and get some help on clarity. We just took the information from our guidance counselors, right? That we were given, whether they were good or not. And so, right? Mine told me to go be a stewardess. So, she gave me a choice. Do you want to go be a stewardess? Do you want to be a teacher? Or I think it was a secretary. I was like, I'll take the one that is in the plane. So she's like, go in that direction. But I think if anyone knows anyone out there that needs some curating around their next step, which is not something that people that, and you see someone out there in that little bit quiet pain, that you're the person to call. So I'm going to take us into a whole different world. And as you know, I love music, and I think music is one of those powerful healers and motivators and inspirers and can give us answers to all of our woes. And so I would love to ask you, if you were on your way to a desert island and you only had one suitcase and you were going to that desert island, that's it. You're going, that's it. You and you, and you had room for one album. What album would you take with you to this beautiful desert island that you could not imagine not ever listening to again?
So I know how much you love music. So I was kind of prepared that you would ask me something in the line of music. It is hard to narrow down. It really is. That said, if I was backed against the wall, I love most of Josh Groban's.
Oh,
Yeah,
Right?
I love his song. If I had to narrow it down it to "You Are Loved" and "Don't Give Up," I just love that song so much. So, yeah, we'll say Josh Groban's greatest hits.
Yeah, you know, Josh, I love his work. Actually, my son's christening music video was to that song, and I actually went and saw him in concert. And they said, you know, if you go to the back of the stadium, this was obviously, you know, pre-world issues. If you go to the back of the stadium, he actually comes out and he will introduce and say hello and what have you. Now, I don't know if he does that anymore, but he will go into the audience. Like, you'll see him go into the audience. And I'm sure Dorothea, who's behind the scenes today, is nodding her head because she is an amazing singer and she plays in that world. And I know that every place that he was doing concerts with at that time, he would find a choir from where he was and they would come and be able to sing. My girlfriend was singing in the choir and she was like a community choir. And he had on stage, he is a big hearted man. Absolutely. I was walking in a hotel in Vegas and everyone was kind of like, you know, there was this really cool. Okay. It was this really cool, like hip hop Irish music. And so me and my girlfriend were walking by in the Aria Hotel and I went to, you know, I mean, you can just walk up, it's like a bar thing and you're there. And these guys are playing like some total hip hop, Irish, cool stuff. I mean, it's the different, it's like The Cure meets, you know, Loreena McKinnon. It was crazy. And then all of a sudden I look in front of me and I look to this and his bodyguard looks at me and I look at him and I'm like, you are who you, I think you are. Right. And he's like, yeah, he goes, great music. I'm like, great music. Love your work. And it was Josh Groban standing right there. There you go. So fantastic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there you go. So he is very friendly. So next time he's at a concert, go hang out at the back door. Oh my gosh. Anyways, so let's wrap up today. Thank you so much for everything that you shared and giving us insight, and letting people that there are other ways to help themselves through different times in their life. It was such an amazing experience. And we did talk about the 262 audience. So we expect you to be there listening to Molly Ann talk. You can just go to devdrummond.com and look at the events section. And we have, oh my gosh, I'm so proud. We've had over 3,000 or upwards of 3,000 women and those that support women come to these incredible summits that are absolutely free. And we have speakers that have sponsored themselves to be there, like Molly Ann, that are pouring into you with this kind of information and inspiration and giving free gifts, like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Every summit that we do is there and accessible and available. And it is a very worldwide, global, accessible project. So we hope if you want to be where Molly Ann's sitting and be on the podcast, you know how to reach us. If you want to be a part of this project, you know how to reach us. You just go to devdrummond.com or devdrummond.com. And we have some incredible things that we're doing for this project. Like you can sip and summit. So there's a beautiful page of the wine that supports this project you can find on devdrummond.com. There's journals that you can purchase to support this project. And there's also once a month top performance classes with me where you pay $8 and all the money goes in. And if you don't know why we like eight, March 8th is International Women's Day, and we encourage you to own that day. And if you have a woman in your life, help her own that day. So thank you for reaching out, and thank you for listening today. And Deb at devdrummond.com. Molly Ann, I'd love for you to share where people can reach out to meet you.
My website is Summers. Summers, make sure you put the S, for FOR direction and healing.com.
All right. And we're going to have that in the show notes as well. And with that being said, until we meet again, you amazing listeners and viewers, stay well and be groovy. Bye for now. Thank you, Molly Ann.
Thank you.